101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. I'm Luke Mathers with your headlines. During a radio interview in Wausau yesterday, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss floated the idea that Republican lawmakers are considering the withdrawal of legislative subpoenas, signaling the potential end of the taxpayer-funded probe of Wisconsin's 2020 election. Voss indicated that withdrawing the subpoenas would allow some officials to be prosecuted for crimes without saying what crimes were committed. The speaker did not acknowledge the fact that three district attorneys around the state have not brought charges against commissioners on the Wisconsin Elections Commission due to lack of evidence. Republican lawmakers have authorized $676,000 of taxpayer funds on the review that has not produced any evidence of widespread fraud in the 2020 election. Forecast show cloudy skies throughout the day today with a 70% chance of occasional showers this afternoon and into the evening. Snow may mix in with an expected high of 50 degrees today and an overnight low of 34 degrees. You're listening to The Shaw.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Robert Miranda from Flack. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
David's giving us a call from San Francisco.
All right, David. How you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, morning, Earl, and was it Patrick? Yeah, before I started, just listening to the blurb at the end of the news there, he was talking about, I think, $600,000 was just appropriated for investigating about the fake election. Would that also include studying the fake electors?
You know, that's certainly a different subject, and
because none of them have resigned, right? None of those guys have resigned.
You're invited to call back later on in the show when we have that dialogue, which I'm going to be having shortly. But right now we're talking about something else. Thank you very much for the call. So, Robert, let's before we went to the break, man. You know, I was asking the questions about, you know, why you have a common counsel that either is not willing or doesn't have the courage or doesn't have the info. Well, you can't say they don't have the information, because you guys have certainly over the years made sure that they've gotten the information. Again, why do you think that they haven't showed strength in this?
Well, the information that we've given them over the years has clearly changed the face of city government. I mean, nobody can say in the last 6 years that city government is the same as it was back in 2016. When we started putting out the information and giving the data that we had and showing all our maps, slowly but surely, everybody was abandoning ship. People were resigning, people were retiring, people were seeking other jobs. So 6 years later, we have a totally different city government, totally different face on city government, based on the fact that our activism was effective in enforcing a lot of folks who were part of the charade going on over there leaving. As far as the common council not acting, you know, the pressure from the community needs to step up. You know, if the corruption and that was exposed in Milwaukee, and let me remind you also, there is still an ongoing criminal investigation of this whole thing at the health department by the Department of Justice and the Attorney General's office. It's still going on, and that investigation has been going on now for at least it'll be next month, 3 years. If there was enough pressure applied from the community to move the Common Council to do what needs to be done to hold people accountable for the harm it was done to the community, then you see a whole different common council mobilizing. Let me just say this. If this was done in that area where you're at right now, broadcasting, Waukesha, and the folks in Waukesha found out that their city government did this to their community, I very much suspect that the people of Waukesha would rise up and put a lot of those people in jail for what they took place in Waukesha against their community and how the harm that was perpetrated by their city government against their people harmed their children. What we have right here is not equal to what happened in Bhopal, India. If you recall that incident where a large corporation poisoned and destroyed a whole community because of lax regulations and stuff. But this situation here, I would say, is not as big as that was, but it's big enough. And for them to have hid, they purposely hid a lot of the data that showed how these lead pipes over the years was destroying the health of our children. This data was purposely hidden from public sites. And I put that on the reason, one of the reasons why they hid it is because the city of Milwaukee was engaged in a major lawsuit against the lead paint industry. And the lead paint industry was fighting back, saying, you know, well, we'll take responsibility for harming the community for our lead paint, but we're not going to take all of the responsibility. But the city did not want to bring in the issue of water being tainted, because basically the city would be held liable for its part as well due to the fact that a lot of the lead pipes that are in the ground now were mandated by the city of Milwaukee back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And these lead pipes were only mandatory banned by the city back in 1962. So it was a politically calculated effort to not include the data of what lead pipes were contributing to the lead poisoning of children in this city, because I believe strongly the lead paint lawsuit would have been weakened and the city would not have seen an opportunity to win it and get the tens of millions of dollars they were trying to get from the lead paint industry.
So Robert, when you explain it from that perspective, and the city itself is culpable, and if you try to calculate all of the damage going back to, as you stated, you know, 1962, when they talked about removing those things, and you calculate that with the damage that's been done to children who are now adults, who have committed crimes, who are locked up, who've had trouble, can't read, you know, have not been able to be educated, and all of the carnage that can be traced back to that, you know, there's no way a city's going to be able to remain a city. If we're talking about the legal aspects and ramifications of it, Robert, and so, you know, my issue is when I hear common council members and they say, well, we're city fathers. Well, you may be that, but don't you wouldn't be that if it wasn't for the people who elected you. So shouldn't your allegiance be to the people who elected you first?
Exactly. If you're going to be city fathers, then act like fathers, protect your children. If you're just going to ignore the toxic environment your children are living in, then you don't need to be in that position, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, taxpayer, you know, people are saying, oh, my God, he's talking about taxpayers need to pay for all this. No, I'm not saying that we need to just draw all our funds and clean this up. I'm saying there is a comprehensive plan that is needed in order to address this in a very concise, efficient, and an effective manner, which we don't have right now.
Yeah, but Robert, just a month or so ago, Vice President Kamala Harris was here talking about the lead pipe issue.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like the federal government is not aware of it. That what was there? Did she say there's $1 trillion or something that this government has set aside to address this across the nation? I mean, they're aware of this issue, and the federal government itself has to step up and bear some financial responsibilities. So it's not just on the city level, but so where is it, Robert? I mean, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other.
It has to be modeled somewhat of how Newark, New Jersey proceeded with their effort. In Newark, New Jersey, the mayor over there just rolled up his sleeve and began to act. And what he did was he employed the services of all government agents. And within two years, even during in the middle of the pandemic, he was able to remove 22,000 pipes in 2 years. In 2 years, he removed 22,000 pipes, and he did that with the funding and support of all different sources, many different sources.
Business,
private sector, public sector.
Right.
So it has to be done in that fashion. The problem is, again, I just feel that the Barrett administration refused to move in that direction because they just didn't want to be shown as really
culpable
and undermining the data, which was really clearly and proven to be by the Health Public Foundation audit insufficient. And they've been working on insufficient data.
So, Robert, you said 6 years. Man, and I remember when you and I first had conversation on the airways about this. It's hard for me to believe that that's 6 years ago, and we still haven't been able to bridge the gap. And as we speak right now, there are more and more children being poisoned by leaded water. I mean, that seems inconceivable to me, man. You know, we can be concerned about the war in Ukraine, but we can't be concerned about the children in a city in the United States of America continuing to be poisoned by. That just makes no sense to me, man.
You got it.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. On the line, Robert Miranda from Flat. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.